You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Ramil. We're here recapping the Heat's 108-105 loss to the Los Angeles Lakers on Monday night, in which Justice Winslow went off and set a new career high in points. But tonight wasn't about that, and it really wasn't even about the wins and losses. It was about it being the last time Dwayne Wade and LeBron James played each other after 16 memorable seasons. Wade finished with a solid 15 points and 10 assists, a double-double for him, and LeBron put up 28-9-12, and at the end of a close game, we got the moment we wanted. Dwayne Wade going one-on-one with LeBron for a chance to win the game. Unfortunately, LeBron bodied him up, forced a tough shot, Wade missed it, and that was it. The final meeting in the books. Look, that was a fun game, David.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot to kind of digest there. The overarching theme, of course, was Wade versus LeBron. And I think emotions were high for anybody who watched this team during the Big Three era, because those two and the friendship they form, it's been talked about so often. But to see it every time and to see how those two players have competed after the Big Three era dissolved, even before the Big Three era was formed, It was all a lot to take in, I think, from a Heat fan perspective. So that was a lot to handle. But the game itself was fun in many ways. There were interesting matchups there to see some of the young guys like Bam, Justice, and even Derrick Jones Jr., who had a really big game, see them step up in big minutes in L.A. That was really encouraging. And even on the other side of the ball, watching guys like Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma ruin a big night for Dwayne Wade, that kind of stuck in my craw particularly. But, a lot of interesting things happening over the course of the game, and unfortunately a loss. I got to be honest with you, I disagree that it wasn't about wins and losses. I really did want the way the emotion was kind of building up and things were gearing up, especially Wade's performance, because he was so uneven in that first half. And then in the second half realized, well, you know what? I'm just going to use my veteran savvy to get to the rim much more effectively. And he did. So I really wanted the win for his sake, because it just kind of felt like it was building towards another Wade moment.
Yeah.
And it did not happen that way, unfortunately. I really did think that there was going to come down to a Wade game winner. And I truly believed that last second shot was going to happen. He had multiple moments there in the last minute of the game to knock down a game winner. None of them fell. His jumper was off all night. I don't know that he actually hit a jumper. I'm trying to recall if he did, and I don't think he did. Everything was at the rim, maybe a floater here and there to mix it up, but for the most part, not really knocking down that jumper. 0 of 7 from the long-range perimeter.
Yeah, he had that one kind of from a little bit from the corner there at the end of the game where he could have made it. That would have either tied the game or made the lead. My brain is still all jumbled about what the scores were at what instances because of all that. I guess my adrenaline is still running from the game, but that last possession in particular, Wade got the ball, ran kind of to the corner, and then ran up with the ball to the top of the half-court circle there, and knew that he was basically running towards that position to get a one-on-one matchup with LeBron, because he knew LeBron was chasing him, and he knew LeBron was not going to switch it. There was a moment, a couple possessions before that, where LeBron had the ball and Dwayne Wade was defending him high up in the half court area. And LeBron called for the screen from Tyson Chandler. And everybody, you could just sort of hear everybody in the basketball world just sort of just like sighing. Like, really? You had to call the switch or you had to call the screen and try to get the switch? Like, that kind of sucked.
I think that was sick. Well, I think it was to kind of not burn his friend publicly in the last moments of that game. That's what I interpreted it as, to be honest with you, because, I mean, obviously, one-on-one, LeBron is still much more capable at this point of getting past an older Dwayne Wade. So
you spared him.
The screen was probably to kind of... Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's fair.
That's my interpretation.
Fair. I didn't think about it that way, but you're right. But look, LeBron played good defense on that last possession that I was just talking about. Wade put up a tough shot. Kind of tried to draw the foul a little bit there. It was off balance. Ball kind of goes...
He hesitated a bit before releasing it.
He did hesitate a little bit, right? He kind of did the pump fake, kind of half pump fake thing. But then, you know, they kind of went careening into the stands there, and it was a last shot in the heat of competition that just sort of morphed into this like bro hug at the end of that game, and they just didn't leave each other's side for a solid several minutes while they hugged. They exchanged words, exchanged jerseys, did their interview with NBA TV afterwards, and they were just there. And Dwayne Wade, at the end of that, getting really emotional, I thought, in that it kind of, you know, his voice cracked a little bit, maybe trying to fight back tears, ended up cursing on national TV, which is always great. That's always a fun thing. And good, yeah, for good for him.
Yes.
And so I thought that was really cool. I thought the end of that was really cool.
Yeah, I, if not for the loss, I think it probably would have been a perfect night. And you know, that kind of emotion from Wade, you know, this whole season has been kind of weird. In talking with him and hearing him, you know, at the start of the year and media day and realizing how important this was to him, I felt at moments that maybe the whole thing is a little contrived, a little artificial. As much as he claimed and has claimed several times that he's not Kobe and this is not a farewell tour, it really has turned into a farewell tour. And you know what? So what? He's earned that right to write the last chapter of his 16-year book, and I think that's fine. And it's still good to see kind of moments like this. The jersey exchange, again, might feel a little contrived for the many thousands of Wade haters across the country.
That's fine.
But to me, to see him, to see him kind of welcoming in another generation or honoring those guys that he's battled against during those 16 years is great. And of course, when it comes to LeBron, everything's different because of the friendship they share off the floor. Whether they played with each other or for each other or against each other, it's been something that has resonated through and through. So it's always good to see that kind of emotion shine in moments.
And it hasn't hijacked the season either, you know, in a way that it takes away from trying to enjoy Josh Richardson's moments and Bam Adebayo. I think it absolutely adds to it. It supplements it in a really good way. And it's not forced in a way that feels uncomfortable. It does feel like honoring one of the greatest.
It's grown organically.
All right. Let's.
Is that too douchey a statement there?
I think that's good. I think that's good. It's better than cursing on live TV.
Perfect.
Let's get to your Twitter questions next after this break. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand. At the touch of a button, control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone while you're wearing them. That's crazy. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody that just loves being outside or just hates being cold. It's toasty warmth and comfort from head to toe. They've got heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even underwear. Heated products that fit everyone's budget, starting at just $39.99. And we've got a special deal for our listeners to save $20 off of your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use that coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. Let's go to Twitter to take some of your questions that you sent in using the hashtag AskLOHeat, and also be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat. This question comes from Billy, who writes in, Justice Winslow has been playing like the Heat's best player, and tonight he looks all-starish. Can he keep this up, or is this just a flash of his potential? If he plays like this, he really looks more like that Kawhi comparison than Draymond. Whoa, loaded there at the end, Billy. You had me going for a second, but let's talk about Justice Winslow's game, because we spent most of the show so far talking about Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, and rightly so. But Justice Winslow kind of stole the show tonight. Him on the Heat's part, and then Kyle Kuzma for the Lakers. Winslow, 28 points on 11 of 20 shooting, 6 of 10 from three-point range. Those are a career high in three-pointers made, a career high in three-pointers attempted. 28 points is a new career high, and the previous career high, by the way, was set in 2016 in December against the Lakers. He also had 7 rebounds, 2 assists. He was awesome.
Can I just say, before we go into full justice mode here, that kudos to Billy for staying with us and actually submitting a question at the end of this game. This is a West Coast road trip after all, so most of our fans in the South Florida area probably are asleep at this point and may have missed a really good game. Kudos to Billy again for staying with us and submitting a question. We always appreciate it. And you know what? If you're hearing this the next day, didn't get a chance to ask us a question, please do so again and we'll answer it in an upcoming episode. But back onto Justice Winslow. You are absolutely right. That kid was phenomenal. Really, really, really good game. Like, I know we've been maybe not necessarily critical of it. We expected some more from him this season. He's had some moments there where he kind of fell short. But we're starting to see between this game, the Clippers game, and I think even moments of that against Phoenix where he's really felt comfortable. And a lot of that, I think, is attributed to getting more playing time with Goran kind of working his way back from injury. Dragic got the quick hook at the third quarter there. I think he was out like within 3 minutes of play. And Justice was reinserted into the lineup because he had it dialed up. And his shooting in particular was so incredible. Like, very, very comfortable. He had a step back.
What has happened? It's transformed. You were about to mention the step back there. Like, where did this come from?
That's not in his arsenal. Has not been in his arsenal for three seasons. So that was incredible to watch. But that was Harden-esque. Like, the step back move there to the left from the right corner there and drilled it. I mean, that was incredible. And he looked comfortable. He looked confident. I can't remember. I saw a tweet saying that maybe he seems like he's poised more for the alpha role than Josh Richardson is. I'm not sure if I'm quite ready to put it there. But he definitely was comfortable being the guy to produce as much as possible. Like, that was definitely something that he seemed like he was ready to take on the moment there. He didn't shy away from it. And Josh struggled a little bit, whereas Justice really did thrive tonight and really embraced the challenge. Defensively, I think he did a pretty good job as well trying to limit LeBron James.
Wait, hold on. I want to dig into that alpha. I want to dig into that alpha role comment because that's a really interesting thing. I hadn't thought about that. I didn't see whoever tweeted that. I think they've got a real good point when they say that, because you've talked a lot about Josh Richardson and kind of his peaks and valleys as far as his confidence goes.
Yeah.
Right. Justice Winslow just does not care. He is just in full DGAF mode. He goes 6 of 10. From 3-point range tonight. He went 1 of 7 against the Clippers. He is shooting regardless. And we've talked about how important it is for Winslow to just keep shooting. And he has done that lately, whether or not the shot goes in or not, because eventually the makes will come. And look, is Winslow in a bit of a hot stretch right now? Probably, right? But if he's taking these shots and he's getting these shots and he's eventually going to get the respect of the defense, everything else is going to open up for him. When he starts making these three-pointers, all of a sudden things start opening up in the lane for him. You're seeing him play with so much more space and getting to the rim and being able to finish over just one-on-one in the paint now, as opposed to trying to finish over two or three guys, which is a big reason why his percentage at the rim has been so bad. It's because guys haven't respected him to close out enough on the perimeter when he's out there. It helps his whole game. He's getting respect. The Heat are going to him at the end of games. He played 38 minutes in this game, which was huge.
That was spectacular. Look, I think as far as Winslow, also not to kind of change the topic a little bit, but his timing seems better, if that makes any sense. Like, he feels so much more smooth and precise as to when to attack, when to kind of pull back and dribble around the baseline, maybe reset the offense a little bit, and when to take his shot. Now that confidence is kind of showing a little bit more in his shot. But as far as his overall ball handling, playmaking, and decisions at the rim, I know just a few weeks ago he was not knocking down those shots at the rim as easily and as efficiently as we'd like him to, but it seems like he's kind of figured it out. And maybe it's just the increased playing time. I think that's a big part of it, certainly. But for whatever reason it is, there seems to be a groove there, and I'm hoping that he'll not get out of this anytime soon.
And I mentioned this a few games ago when he really started coming in off the bench and being the leader, like the point guard of the second unit, and then kind of as Spo gets through his rotations, the leader of a lot of, you know, the first unit as well. He's got the ball in his hands and he's really playing point guard now. He's not just bringing the ball up. He's not just bringing the ball up and reacting to whoever's open. He's calling plays. He's setting up his teammates. He's anticipating what the defense is going to do and what his teammates are going to do.
He called for a screen from Wade. Like,
mm. I noticed that at the end.
He's like telling Wade, come on, set the screen for me here. And we're talking about, he eventually gave up the ball, but at the same time, that was just, I don't know that we've seen that moment from him. There was another time after an inbounds play, I think on a made shot from the Lakers, where he called for the ball from Goron, and Goron chose to play the off-ball role and deferring to Justice to have him initiate the offense and bring the ball up court.
That's the next step here. That's really the next step here is, remember when Goron deferring a little bit to Deion really kind of sparked that 30-11 stretch? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen.
I think that's
here,
exactly
David.
What's going to happen.
I'm just saying that I think we're almost at that point where Goron says, all right, I'm going to defer to you, Justice. And if you have Goron now playing off the ball, we've talked a lot about his ability off the ball to space the floor and make catch and shoot three-pointers and doing things like that. And if you have the ball in Winslow's hands, Winslow has recently said he wants to be the starting point guard on this roster. A lot of people read that as, oh my gosh, he wants Goran Dragic traded or he wants Goran Dragic's job. No, Goran Dragic has played shooting guard for a lot of his career, especially early in his career. He's comfortable playing either guard position. If you've got Winslow there, you're not lacking in size in the backcourt at all. It would work, and I think that's the next step in all of this.
Yeah, I agree. So go back to Billy's question then. I think we answered the all-star-ish factor, whether or not this is just a flash of his potential. I think it's something sustainable. He needs to keep building it, and obviously it involves whether or not Tyler Johnson and Deion return to the lineup healthy and how much that takes away from just his playing time. And, of course, if Goran's willing to play a little bit more off-ball. Yeah, you're right that it shouldn't, but we're not sure exactly how that's going to play out. Look, no Ellington tonight, no Tyler Johnson, no Deion Waiters, obviously. Dwayne Wade getting the bulk of the minutes in the backcourt along with Justice Winslow, and Goran only playing 18 minutes, again, as he tries to round up from round into form after his injury. So let's dismiss that and assume that he's going to continue to grow, even if it's not going to be at this high a level, because, again, playing time is going to be more limited in the future. But as far as the comparisons are concerned, I kind of like that Kawhi one. He seems, again, I think it's a little overstated, but he seems much more confident as far as his willingness to create offense for himself. Like, that's something that's been missing.
I agree with you, and the confidence can't be overstated. I don't want to fall into the comparison thing anymore. Can we just not? I just don't want to do it. I just want to enjoy this Justice Winslow. He is what he is. Whatever that ends up becoming, great. I'm so sick. I don't want to do the comparison thing. I'm skipping the question. All right. Our stat of the game is next after this break. Okay, let's wrap up with our recap with our stat of the game. David, I'm going to make this one easy. It's not really the stat of the game, but it's sort of the stat from the game, if that makes sense. It's 16-15. Hmm. That's LeBron's and Dwayne Wade's record, or I guess that's LeBron's record in the 31 games he's played Dwayne Wade. They entered the night having played 30 times, having a tied record 15-15. Mm. This was for all of the wine, all of the banana boats. This was for all of it. This was for lifetime bragging rights. LeBron gets it. He gets the edge. 16-15 in the all-time series against Wade. It's you can't be bitter about it. LeBron is arguably the greatest player of all time, and so you kind of almost say, like, wow, Wade just having it at 15-15 going into this last in this last matchup says a lot about how great Dwayne Wade was, more than anything.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with that. I mean, again, I don't know that it's a record that many people will care about beyond tonight or beyond this season, certainly. But I think it does, when you look back at this relationship, whether it's as a teammates or competitors, it just shows a lot of the competitiveness of a Dwayne Wade that, there were moments there where he was leading much worse teams than LeBron-led groups, and he was still able to pull out victories there by sheer force of will. What's always defined Wade as a true superstar, a guy that impacted a game both offensively and defensively and been able to take over a game and change the course in the middle of a game like that. Like, that's few players can do that, I think, where you can just alter a shot at one end by blocking it or stealing it or disrupting an offense, and then on the offensive end knocking down shots, imposing your will, etc. All those cliches kind of come true when it comes to Wade and his overall impact, particularly early in his career. But, you know, during that stretch during 2008 through 2010, when he was playing at an MVP level, those were a lot of great moments for Dwayne. And again, some of those were against LeBron. So that was a lot of fun to watch. And I think it's just, it's a great statistic. But at the same time, I think it just speaks overall to how good Wade has been over the course of his career and against LeBron in particular.
There was a couple of years there where Dwayne Wade was neck and neck with LeBron as best player in the league. And I think that there was the only time since really 2007, 2008, when I feel like LeBron really kind of took that mantle on as the best player. There was that the scoring season from Dwayne, or the scoring title season from Dwayne Wade. And then really that first year, I thought, when they were in Miami, where they were neck and neck, as you could legitimately argue. I don't think that that's ever happened again in LeBron's career. Now, a lot of people would say, well, what about Kevin Durant? I think LeBron figured out the rest of his game and put together the rest of his game in time for Kevin, before Kevin Durant really peaked. There was a moment there where Dwayne Wade, I think, was just better at just
everything,
the overall kind of figuring things out than LeBron was. But absolutely, it was just what a really cool rivalry and friendship, and just a cool thing to have experienced over these 16 seasons. And this was a fun game. Absolutely. So
I got Derrick Jones Jr. In 29 minutes, he had 14 rebounds. Like, we're not quite sure what we're going to get out of Derrick Jones Jr. on a night-to-night basis, but this road trip and the injuries to the roster and you know, having Ellington and Whiteside out has created an opening there, and Derek has really taken advantage of it. You know, you spoke to him at Summer League in Sacramento, and he seemed like he was poised for a breakout. Then, of course, that was kind of thrown off course due to his own injury issues and kind of trying to figure out where he fit on this roster. But he's provided a real nice boost over the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. 14 rebounds, just using that overall athleticism to his benefit to be able to pull down rebounds. He also finished with 3 blocks. So just making an impact at the rim, his length has been phenomenal. 3 steals. I mean, you could pick any one of these statistics to just show that Derek is playing at a really, really high level, and hopefully he'll continue that trend.
It just feels like he plays in the air all the time. Like, he's just sort of levitating, right? He's always in the air. You mentioned the 14 rebounds. 5 of them were offensive. He had 3 field goals. I bet those 3 field goals, I bet they were all putbacks off of offensive rebounds. Like, he's just always in the sky. It's nuts. Yeah, Derrick Jones Jr., you mentioned, you don't know what you're going to get from him from a game-to-game basis as far as production goes. He's a really good rebounder, despite his, like, kind of skinny frame. He's a really effective rebounder. His percentages are really, really high, and I think the Heat know that they're going to get that, and they seem to be comfortable playing him a lot at that power forward position despite that size. And I think they like what they've seen so far, and getting a lot of rebounding from that position where you don't normally get that from James Johnson, who's quietly not a great rebounder. All right, I think that's it. Okay. Well, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, and leave us a rating and review while you're there. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.